Boy, it was just wonderful worship here today, huh? Thank you, Lord, for worship. You know, I guess what we're really saying when we say thank you, Lord, for worship, we're really saying thank you for your presence, Lord. So that's what we're really feeling, right? So, and Lord, I felt your presence here today. Thank you, Lord. I just want to just say something just right off the top here. I felt a special burden today. If there's anybody here, and it may take a little boldness for you to stand up, you know, maybe it might even be your first time here, but you have constant pain in your body. It's just always there. And it might not be 100%, but it's certainly there a good, you know, 80, 90% of the time. You struggle when you go to bed, when you get up, and in the night and day. It's just something that's just like kind of around your neck, you know, just on you. And I just always have a lot of compassion for people that are in constant pain. So if that's you, would you just stand up wherever you are? And I want to ask God to have mercy. It's not right to be in pain like that. It's just not. And sometimes I think it's just really important to corporately address it. So if you see a person standing near you, please put your hand on them. And whether it's a back injury, a neck injury, some kind of stomach ailment, whatever it is, a rib injury. I think there's probably a couple of more newcomers that maybe you're a little bit uneasy about that right now. You're newer to us. I just encourage you to stand. Be bold. You have nothing to lose and everything to give. We're just going to pray for you real quick, and that's about it. All right? That's all we really need to do, honestly. Lord, you just taught us to pray like that. Lord, I'm looking for miracles, but I'm especially concerned right now for anyone that may be having pain in their body, just constant issues of pain. They don't seem to want to go away. Neck injuries, back issues, stomach problems, the limbs, joints, whatever it is, Lord, muscles, organs. In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. In the name of Jesus Christ, may the healing anointing of Jesus come on you. Holy Spirit, just come on them right now. Drive away sickness, drive away pains, aches, issues, things that have been with us maybe even for years. Today, let this be a line in the sand, Lord. We just draw a line in the sand and say, in the name of Jesus, be gone. Be still in Jesus' name. And I pray, God, these things would not visit us in the night or in special times when we're just walking down the road or wherever. Lord, I pray that invasive nature of pain would just leave off of us and lift in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I just felt like I need to underline that one a little bit. All right. We'll pray some more for you, too, by the way. Here by the end of the service. And I just so like this ministry team training I heard about. There's not anything super duper that we do with the training other than when we gather together like that to equip each other, to pray for each other, we're equipping you with the knowledge that you really need to be doing that and that we all can be healers and we can all release miracles. And I don't want to ever be released from that anointing. I want us to always move in that anointing that we can make a difference in a person's life. And so the healing ministry teams that we have, which I'll call up here, I was just so pleased with when I preached last week, of your response to all that. And this is sort of a body message, a message about how we can minister to one another. And you just did really well coming up. And I just noticed people were here at the altar. And it's just a mystery to me even how this all works. It's just a mystery that God would entrust healing and blessing through ordinary folks, but it'd be just like him too. He gives grace to the humble. And sometimes we even overdo how to get a healing. You know, we want a special person to pray for us or a special atmosphere, go to a special place or whatever, but it would be just like Jesus to heal you through an ordinary person, just an ordinary person who's just up here humbly asking for God to help you. And God gives grace to the humble, and there's something about that in that body life and the way the Lord likes to distribute his gifts all around and release healing gifts. So last week, I was just so excited about that, seeing all of us up here as usual, but it was a little bit more intense, and it was a little bit more faith. I could feel there was faith in the room for grace, so just praying in this moment for people. So I just think it's a crime for you to come to church and not get prayed for if you need to. Jesus said, my house will be a house of prayer. So if we're anything, we're a house of prayer, but not just a general house of prayer. We're a house of prayer for specific things. And it turns out that prayer is one of those delivery systems for actually the title of today's sermon, Releasing God's Great and Unsearchable Things. And I love this verse, Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. I tell you what, you can do that from prison. You can do that from a church. You can do that at home. You can do this anytime. But this calling, showing you great and unsearchable things you do not know, is part of the heritage of the people of God. In Jeremiah, we see him telling that to the Old Testament people. But on the New Testament side, it's even more dramatic because of the intervention of Jesus in time and space and this ability to release and to become little Jesuses. I don't mean that sacrilegiously. I mean that we actually represent. That's why we are called Christians, right? We represent him. He made it so we do what he does, right? So if you look at your outline, I just got a few phrases I want to talk about and points and just with little things underneath them. So I'm just going to, we mentioned Jeremiah 33:3. That came, you know, from the great prophet Jeremiah, and he's talking to these people who are about to go into exile. And I think that's sort of interesting. And so he's telling them, call to me, and I'll answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. He's already thinking about their restoration. He's already thinking about what's supposed to happen, even though they're going to go into this place of exile, right? So God invited Jeremiah into the great and unsearchable things he had for him, even though he was in prison. So he's getting this word in prison. And Israel was about to go into captivity because of their sin. So we read this in the first few verses of Jeremiah 33. While Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. This is what the Lord says, he who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name, called to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Now, he's saying that to Jeremiah, but as the representative also of Israel, he's telling all of Israel that. They're about to go into this long siege of captivity, and he's inviting them, call to me. Don't stop calling. I don't care what sort of situation you're in. And I'll tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. I won't stop my communication with you. And he's telling that to Jeremiah and the people of God. Sometimes when we get in difficult spaces, we just can't hear God, or we think we can't hear God. But that's the time actually when you can hear God, even the best. You just sort of lose your inhibitions and you need a word. It's the difference between getting a word and having that place where you need a word, right? Anybody be in that place? I just need to hear from God, you know. Whether it's a scripture from another person who's encouraging me with a prophetic word, whatever it is. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says about the houses in this city and the royal palaces of Judah that have been torn down to be used against the siege ramps and the sword in the fight against the Babylonians. And this is the bad news first. It's not going to go well with you guys. They will be filled with the dead bodies of the people, and I will slay in my anger and wrath. I will hide my face from this city because of its wickedness. So it's interesting. He's telling him, I'm about to judge you, but he's also giving him the way out. He's already talking to him about the future. Nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. It wasn't his goal for that to happen. It wasn't his desire or his design. It was their rebellion that caused it. They just weren't walking with him at all. They were walking like the people of the land, and they weren't acting like themselves, like their inheritance. But so even despite that bad space they were in, whether you deserve it or not, even when you're in a bad space, there's always this nevertheless. I will bring health and healing. No matter what. You could think of 1,000 different reasons why you shouldn't be well, but there's one good reason why you are supposed to be well. Nevertheless, nevertheless, I will bring health and healing. I will heal my people and let them enjoy abundant peace and security. That's God's goal all along. Even with this terrible mistake they were making, you know, his will all along was for them to do well, not to be disciplined, not to have to go to this place. I will bring Judah and Israel back from captivity and will rebuild them as they were before. I will cleanse them from all the sin they have committed against me and will forgive all their sins of rebellion against me. Then this city will bring me renown, joy, praise, and honor before all nations on earth that hear of all the good things I do for it. And they will be in awe and will tremble at the abundant prosperity and peace I will provide for it. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes I'm just in awe when a person's gone down a bad path or a difficult path and how the Lord can restore and bring everything back. Can I just make a declaration to you? God wants to bring everything back. Sometimes we get it piecemeal. Well, maybe he'll heal my right leg but not my left thumb. Or maybe he'll heal this or that or won't take care of my finances or my job or this pain in my soul over the loss of a loved one, right? This is what the Lord says. You say about this place, it is a desolate waste without people or animals. And sometimes we can say that about our own life, right? But yet in the towns of Jerusalem and the streets of Jerusalem that are deserted, inhabited by neither people nor animals, there will be heard once more the sounds of joy and gladness. Because this is normal for God. This is the normal thing. This is what's normal, biblically. Normal, God's heart for us, right? The sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, and the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good, for his love endures forever. For I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before, says the Lord. As I've been reading this, just even now, I got the distinct impression, that last word there, which summarizes the whole thing before, I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before, says the Lord. Lord, I declare a restoration of fortunes. Maybe you deserved it. Maybe you messed up, you sinned, and you know you messed up. Maybe you didn't deserve it. Maybe you don't even know why the pain or the sorrows are. You don't even know. But I declare, regardless of whatever category you're in, I declare over this whole room, you came here to hear at least this one word. If you came here this morning, you're here or in the live stream sometime, here's the word of the Lord for at least this people who are listening to this now, whether it's now or in the future. I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before, says the Lord. And I would even go one step beyond, probably better than they were before. He has this habit of being like doubly good, twice as good. He has this habit of being the good measure, pressed down, running over God. And I think it's important that we know that, understand that, and always let that invite us into great and unsearchable things. God's inviting Jeremiah, even while he's in jail, into great and unsearchable things. He had for him, even though he was in prison and Israel was about to go into captivity. Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but the reason he came was to have life and have it to the full, right? So the call to Jeremiah, to me of Jeremiah 33:3 is God's invitation to every believer to pray for great and unsearchable things. Sounds of joy and gladness are a promise for your life today, despite contrary circumstances. The Lord is an expert in restoring our happiness and fortunes, even in the most difficult of circumstances. Even before the trouble, God's already calling out the restoration. I mean, he's prophesying this before the trouble comes. He's already telling them about the restoration. This is what the Lord says. You say about this place, it's a desolate waste, because by that time they'd already had a tremendous amount of warfare and the land was pillaged and there were just a couple of cities left without people and animals. Yet the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are deserted, inhabited by neither people nor animals, they will be heard once more. There will be heard once more the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, and the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good, his love endures forever. I just feel like there are a couple of people who just need to stand and just make this your declaration. Stand. If you want to. I'm just going to make a declaration over you. Lord, I declare the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, and the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house, Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty. I declare, Lord, you are good. Your love endures forever. And this is the line. I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before, says the Lord. I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before, says the Lord. And even if you didn't even have a before, I declare the restoration of fortunes. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So maybe I could just sit down right now. We're good. I don't know. I need to really say much more. Oh, but, you know, I learned from Eddie I have to have 3 points. So, actually, I'm not sure if I learned that from him or me. But anyway, he always seemed to be very organized. So, anyway, he's sitting right over there. So when Jesus came, he released great and unsearchable revelation in his church about their authority in the world. And it's interesting. according to 1 Peter 2:9, we're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and God's special possession. That's pretty good news, isn't it? A chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. We stand as priests, kings, and prophets, literally, to the nations. That's what the Lord thinks about us. That's our job description, according to 1 Peter 2:9. And I love that. We've been made a kingdom of priests. We're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, 1 Peter 2:9. And so we're even equipped to pray amazing prayers, like we see in Matthew 6, 9, and 10. We pray, "Thy kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." We get to declare heaven's will on earth. So when we talk about releasing God's great and unsearchable things, it turns out that God not only releases them, but we're a part of the whole process. We're a part of the whole thing. That's why God calls us a chosen people, a royal priesthood. We're the ones that call this down on the earth, the goodness of the Lord on earth. And as we wring our hands about the nations and things that are happening in this place or that place, now we don't need to be wringing our hands so much as declaring grace over those nations and those places and the darkness that we see around us. This is our unique, holy possession. We see in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come." Those are three of the most powerful words God ever gave us to say. Kingdom means rule. Lord, your rule come. Where there's sickness, the rule of God comes and causes healing. Where there's lack, where there's absence, where there's things that are missing, we declare God's kingdom. Because God's kingdom is full of good things. His rule is always good. It's always full of the right stuff, right, that we need. Thy kingdom come is just the simplest way of declaring God's goodness over our lives. But then he knew something about us. We see it in Luke chapter 11. He knew something about us. He knew something about us. He knew that we would do it, maybe knock, knock, or to make a declaration, but we would stop doing that, that we would just get discouraged real easily, right? So he, as he's talking about this whole thing of pursuing God in prayer, he says, "So I say to you, knock, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be open." So ask, and it'll be given to you, and you'll find. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, now that's an amazing thing. Everyone. Wow. If you just stop and think about that for a moment. Now Jesus said this, and he isn't a liar. So everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the door will be open. Interesting enough, in the Greek tenses of those words, it wouldn't be pronounced. We would actually more accurately pronounce this for everyone who keeps asking. In other words, a continuous thing receives. The one who keeps seeking finds. That's in the Greek. But then when you see in the next two verses, you get it explained even further. Which of you, father, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you, though, then you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That's the very presence of the Lord. And before these passages, he talks about this person who was inside and his neighbor comes and knocking on the door. And he won't get up, you know, in the middle of the night to give him something. But he says, because of the neighbor's audacity, he says, "I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will get up and give you as much as you need." So he's talking about that in relationship to our walk with God, to have this amazing shameless audacity. And I tell you what, I'm learning to be more shamelessly audacious. Sometimes I'm so shamelessly audacious, like in my prayers and declarations over people, it gets embarrassing, you know. You think, you sort of get out there, you know, a little bit. According to these verses, I'm not sure you can get too far out there. I didn't say it. If I said it, if my cousin said it, it wouldn't be worth anything. But if Jesus says it, and this is the way the kingdom works, so something about this releasing God's great and unsearchable things has a tenacity about it. Not an earthly tenacity, but a spiritual tenacity. Tenacity, something that sort of comes from the inside out and keeps us moving. And I'll tell you, one of the greatest things that can happen to you is when you have a few victories, it's so powerful to revisit trouble. And sometimes we go through trouble so we can be tenacious people and we don't give up easily. And then we become infectious. And, you know, I think you're going to overcome that cancer. I think it's going to be okay. Did you have good news or bad news this week? In between news. So let's just ask God to give good news, huh? You have an assignment here. I don't know what it is. I have no idea why I'm saying this right now, but anyway, we'll just go for it. I think you have an assignment here. I think you didn't just come for the sickness. I think there's something more that you're getting a hold of here today, and also the time you've been with us. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord surround you. May the Lord's favor be on you. May every bit of trial and cancer leave your body in Jesus' name. May God's grace be on you. May He encourage you. And whatever else you're supposed to get out of this experience while you're here in this state, may the Lord just open your eyes and your ears. May this be a journey for you of blessing, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Not just for your body, but for your mind, your spirit, your walk with God, and your whole family, in Jesus' name. All right, that's a message from our sponsor. Good. All right. Here we go. All right. So, and Jesus says these radical things about these great and unsearchable things He wants to give His church. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Wow. I mean, is this for real? Truth? I mean, whatever? I think that's kind of great and unsearchable, huh? Again, truly, I tell you, and I tell you what, when I think of the whatever of my life, I can't even tell you the kind of things I pray for. The only thing I haven't been successful at, so far, is golf scores. I suck. I'm terrible. And I persist. I guess. Anyway. Maybe it's just a big waste of time. How about that? Okay. No, it couldn't be that. No way. All right. I'm trying to bind my slice. And loose my drive. And whatever you loose on earth will be loose. It says whatever. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. I don't think my wife's going to ever agree about my golf stroke here. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. Oh, that's the best part, isn't it? See, the whole thing was, look, people of Israel, you're my people. I'm with you. I know this is a bad patch. I know you're in a difficult space. But the bottom line is, I'm your God and you're my people. And I'm not going to let you go, am I? So that's why we can come boldly to this throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16 talks about. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Because of the authority Jesus gives us, our job is to make disciples of the nations with the power and prayer He gives us. Matthew 28:18, we know about this, but it's amazing. We not only go into the nations in the way that He tells us to do it, but we go equipped with signs and wonders and miracles. You know, this is the great age of signs and wonders and miracles. Now, as charismatics or spirit-filled people, I think we've been continuing that for a long time, but sometimes I think that because of our maybe lack of understanding of what's going on in the rest of the world, we don't really understand the full import of what's going on in a place like communist China, for example. Mighty, mighty signs and wonders and miracles. If there ever was a time for signs and wonders and miracles, China, Africa, Asia, across the great spanses of even Islam right now, where gospel is being preached, these signs and wonders, these disciples being sent out to do God's work are going, and they are loaded with God's great and unsearchable things. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always. And I like this part. Even to the very end of the age. So this was spoken a couple of thousand years ago, right? They probably thought that was the end of the age. And here we are. We think we're at the end of the age. I don't know how long this age goes, but we know one thing. These things, our mission out in the world, is going to remain solid and strong all these years to come and all the years that we've been, right? Make disciples. That's how we make disciples. We make disciples by releasing God's great and unsearchable things, His great and unsearchable ways. Whether it's a miracle or a prophetic word or just the amazing beauty of the gospel itself, just releasing Jesus to the earth is our job description, right? So God wants to reveal, Roman numeral 3, great and unsearchable plans. So Jeremiah 3:3 says this. This is where prayer comes in. This is why prayer is so powerful. Part of why prayer is so powerful. The core of prayer is just our communion and relationship with God. But look what he says. This is an offer we shouldn't refuse ever, right? Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Now, I thought when I got older, there would be a lot of things I would know. But it seems I get older, there are more and more things I do not know. It sort of backfired on me. So this scripture here, you know, I got a little more wisdom, but not much. Honestly. This passage is big. Call to me, and I'll answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Well, that's just all the spiritual stuff, you know. But I know a lot already. I read the Bible. No. What about that, like, thing you need to know about your business? Do I travel here? Do I go there? Do I open this up? Oh, you mean those kind of unsearchable things? You mean actually really meaningful kinds of things, like, how do I get over this sickness? Or why is it that that person over there is mentally ill and we can't seem to help them? So here's the answer. Call to me. Oh, Lord, I've called a dozen times. I don't know if I want to do that again. But there's a tenacity in this voice. This is something he's talking in the midst of this time when they're about to be deported, when they're about to experience the worst things. Their nation's about to disappear. They're about to go into this utterly dark and lonely and broken place. And even in that place, they called out to the Lord, and the Lord showed them great and marvelous things, unsearchable things, brought the prophets along, like Daniel, for example, who not only while he was in captivity foretold when they would be out of captivity, but also gave prophecies that haven't even been fulfilled yet in the world. Amazing. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. I declare right now over this congregation and over every individual and family an anointing to call to the Lord and find out the great and unsearchable things that we don't know yet. Things that are like huge question marks in our life. Things that we just don't seem to have an answer for. Whether it's a physical condition or a job issue or an issue of where you're supposed to live or an issue of your housing, Lord, we call to you today. I pray you would show us great and unsearchable things that we don't yet know right now. But we're more than happy for you to release these great and unsearchable things. Unsearchable literally means to cut off, make inaccessible, enclose like a fortification. It refers to inaccessible secrets and mysteries. Inaccessible secrets and mysteries. So this is quite a thing. Call to me and I will show you great and unsearchable plans. And Jesus was very interesting. He gave us a little bit more nuance to these sort of things, to understand how to walk in the supernatural, to hear God's voice. And so he said it like this. He said, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. So if God's showing all he's doing, then you've got the answers to everything in your life, right? What is he doing about this? What is he doing about that? What is he doing about your living situation? What is he doing about your health? What is he doing about your marriage situation? What is he doing, right? So if we know that, we're in good shape. But notice the key here. This is the most wonderful key of all. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. So it's in this love relationship, an experience with God of intimacy, where the Lord opens his heart and shows you. In other words, if you want to hear God's voice, you need to feel his love, because in the love is the voice. And it's a good voice. For the Father loves the Son. So Jesus is telling us the secret to his whole ministry. It was in this ongoing love between him and his Father that the Lord would reveal what to do next. What to do over here, what to do over there. And I'll tell you what, I have never experienced such lovely... I mean, I used to beat myself up constantly, fast and pray. And I still do that, but not in the same way. You know, God, please, just tell me one little thing. Please, please. You know, I just need to know your will on this thing. You know, please, give me your will. You know, over. I know none of you probably go through any of that, but... But then... I found something. When I found love, the love of the Father, turns out God talks a lot. You know? Not always about what I want to talk about, but because love, when God opens that in your life, when God brings supernatural love to you, and in the context it's this relational love, hear God's voice so much more than I ever used to. When that compassion comes to me for a person or a thing or a situation, or compassion comes, you know, I feel a little soft in my heart, I'm going, I've learned whenever I'm in that space, I'm going, okay, what are we talking about today, Dad? Because almost always in that space, there's God's voice. Now, it may not be clear like, thus says God, go do this, but an awareness of the Lord, an awareness of the right procedure, what to do, awareness it's going to be okay, awareness of the right responses, and sometimes just the very specific thing I need to know. So you can get that love all the time. You know, I draft off that love all the time in worship. I'm not happy until I feel the love of God flowing over me as I'm worshiping. You guys felt that, many of you, during worship. That's prime time, by the way, for hearing God's voice. God, you can't speak now. I'm worshiping. No. You got it wrong. You're worshiping to hear God's voice and to honor Him. And as you do that, some of the craziest things, He might speak to you about something totally unrelated to church. God, this is church now. I can't hear about that now. No, I want to talk about Billy. Oh, not again. Really? Yeah, I think you should da-da-da-da-da. You're kidding. Could you have those kind of conversations in church? If you can't have them in church, where can you have them? See, when love comes, listen for His voice. When you feel compassion, matter of fact, whenever I feel a little compassionate towards someone, I go, uh-oh, I'm on. Okay, God, what do you want me to do? And when you don't feel compassion, it's not the same. But you can still obey according to what the Word says to do, right? You need to do what you can't. Obviously, not everything is a feeling like that. But let's just say then the feeling of God's love in your heart is much better than maybe you realize in terms of hearing God's voice. I know people fast and pray and trying to get a word from the Lord and everything. But when the compassion comes, I tell you what it's like. I can hear all kinds of things about myself, about other people, about situations. And so I just believe it's such a wonderful thing. For the Father loves the Son. So Jesus walked in this communion with God, and he told Him what to do. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all that He's doing. Hey, go heal that person over there. Hey, go take a trip up north to wherever, you know. Go down south. Go this way. Go that way. Tell Peter, knock it off. Tell Peter he's okay. Whatever it is, right? Even in your ability to discipline or say hard things, when there's love there, it's so much easier to say what you need to say in the right way, to give the right kind of counsel. Matter of fact, I always know that I'm in a great counseling session with someone if I'm counseling them, right, when the love comes. When the love comes, man, when I feel compassion for that person, I can hear. You know, I say the right things, because all the other stuff's washed away, the insecurity and the guilt or the impatience. I'm just in that space. And so number of you know that we have to deal with some family issues from time to time, with one of our sons especially, who's not doing well mentally and emotionally. And the only way that I know how to talk with him is when I feel the love of the Father. And that's when I know how to respond to him. That's how I know how. And thank God that happened, right? Otherwise, you just pull your hair out and run around, and, you know. But God has this different viewpoint. First of all, He's never worried about anything. He's never worried about anything, right? So He's not worried. So if you just get calmed down enough, that helps a lot in hearing God's voice, because He's not worried, so you're not worried. And could God actually bring that kind of thing to us, these great and unsearchable plans? And I mean, we think of great unsearchable things. We feel like we're supposed to dial up to these things, you know. Let's just plan everything out, da-da-da-da. I think actually when you find great and unsearchable plans of the Lord, you need to dial down. Actually, just, and He'll work out the detail of it, right? He'll work out the detail. Even when the devil's in the detail, He'll kick the devil out of the detail, right? It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings. Proverbs 25:2. Isn't it amazing? We are those kings. So this is why you don't know the answers to everything. This is why you have to pray. This is why you get to pray. Because it's your glory to pray. Because prayer is nothing else than communication with God. It's just a lot of us are so unnerved, so uneasy, so disturbed of heart that it's hard for us to hear God's voice in it, or hard to even pray. When we pray, it just comes out muffled. It comes like, you know, just a desperate. I have to always watch my prayer life. When my prayer life gets too angry or muffled or like emotional, just in terms of pain and stuff, I just sort of, let's take a step back here. Okay. First of all, in my mouth from that pain, I just said about every negative thing I could possibly say. And if I were God, I wouldn't want to listen to me. Right? Because, you know, the same God, he's the one that came and brought Jesus and gave his own son for you. He shed blood for you, and he kind of likes you. So why are you talking to God like he doesn't like you anymore? Or like the world's on fire and there's nothing he can do? If he died for you, then I think he probably could take care of that problem, right? So this is part of releasing God's great and unsearchable things. God conceals things for a while, but our glory is to search it out. But the way we search it out is not in desperation. It's like, you know, Easter, when you hide the little eggs from the kids, if anybody ever does that anymore. Right? You don't hide them with your little kids so they can never find them. He doesn't hide stuff so you can't. God, there must be a reason why you're hiding. I ain't hiding nothing. You're just so crazy and upset all the time. You can't hear a word I'm saying. I got the egg right there. It's right there. Just go over there. See, right by that chair? You ever been an Easter hug? Easter hug. That too. Easter, you know, I remember the little kids, you know, and they're really little. Hey, over there. Hey, Billy, look at that. Oh, an Easter egg. Right? So it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but not too much. But to search out of the matter is the glory of kings. It's part of our, by kings, he means it's part of our authority in the Lord. But our authority comes from this good, great God who loves to release to us great and unsearchable things. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. The problem with us is we're not tender enough and not weak enough in the sense of really believing God loves us that we just think we, you know, if God told us to jump off these tall mountains, we would do it. But sometimes he tells us to do the silliest things. Like, why don't you just forgive them and let them off the hook? No, God, that's too silly. No, I can't. I mean, that's not even right. You know, or other weak things like that. It's amazing what leads to miracles. So look in your outline, there are 3C. The good, accessible, revealed plans God has for us. And I just want to read a few of these plans for us. I just love these verses, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you hope in the future. John 10:10. I came, what? That they might have life and have it to the full. But the other guy, what does he do? He steals, kills, and destroys. But this is the reason why I came. She might have life, have it to the full. What do you mean by full? Everything. Life to the full. Life to the full. Everything. Whatever you think's full, it's full with God too. Except for stupid lust and excessive crazy stuff. That's not fullness. That's actually wickedness. It'll steal from you, kill you, right? But nevertheless, God is very comfortable with plenty, I've come to find out. And he's a lot more abundant than maybe we give him credit for. And especially when we're in a down space, we're without a job or whatever, and it just feels like it's been forever. 1 Peter 4:10, God desires to reveal the purpose for your life, or maybe a purpose. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So sometimes we're looking so far beyond where we're at that we don't use whatever gifts we have. But if you use what you have and what you know about, guess what? He'll also reveal other things you don't know about. Give and what? It shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down. And actually, it's his will to really let you unwrap all that you were made for. He's not up there saying, no, I'm not going to tell the purpose for your life. But sometimes people get so wrapped up in the purpose for their life and so emotional about it, they can't hear a thing. Just start doing little things. Just depend on God. Just start serving others. That's a little bit lower. you have received to serve others. So when you begin to serve others, whatever you've been given, you're on the right track and you'll get more, right? But it comes in all kinds of various forms. But God does love to release and help you understand what you're good at. Today, I release God, the favor of God on everybody here. I pray you'd show everybody what they're good at. If I say some spiritual, fancy spiritual gift thing, Lord, whatever they're good at, whatever they're made for, I pray, God, you would reveal that purpose and they'd do more of it and all the other things that go along with it in Jesus' mighty name. God intends for us to overcome the works of Satan. We find that in Luke chapter 10. Part of your job description as a believer is to undo nastiness that the enemies cause. So you don't have to even think too hard about that one. Jesus was with his disciples. He says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from your ministry. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. Well, is there another ministry in the bag? Wonder if you got the snake and scorpion ministry. I've given you authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven so you don't get too big a head, right? I praise you, Lord, heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. So here's the thing. These things that God wants us to do on the earth, he likes to give it to simple people, kids. People don't think too highly of himself or think too highly about it. Because his whole plan was that I'm the one that's going to be give the victory. I'm the one that overcomes. And you guys are along for the ride. And now he says this, the end of this. He says, this is the end of all these disciples experiencing these miracles. And this is where you are today. This is where I am. Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. But I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. And I just declare that over us today. I declare, Lord, that we are a people that prophets, even of the past, and kings would long to see this day. I pray you would equip us as a church this way. Lord, it's your blessing. It's your desire to reveal the things of the kingdom. And Lord, give us authority over demonic things and powers and principalities. And by the way, while we're at that, Lord, we pray that you would help us to stop wringing our hands about government issues and take them directly to you in prayer with all confidence, interceding for our leaders, interceding for the party we like and the party we don't like, interceding for all that are in authority. Lord, I pray, God, you just put this desire in us. We are the salt of the earth, and we are the light of the world. If anybody's got salt, it's us. If anybody knows a light, it's us. And we should be praying for that and asking for it. So, Lord, I pray you'd help us to contend for all those that are in authority like you taught us to do. Lord, I declare, this is C3 here, God reveals wisdom for every single situation. How many here are looking for wisdom in a certain situation? Anybody? Yeah. The rest of you are lying. But here it is, as simple as possible. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to you. Now, one thing I found about this wisdom thing is I like to use the word wisdom path. Because what we want is we want to sit down, see the whole movie from A to Z, and then figure it out, right? So I sit down for 2 hours, God explain everything to us, and then we'll go do it. But actually what he does is he gives us wisdom a piece at a time, often, right? But without finding fault, it'll be given to you. So you take wisdom paths. That's helped me more than anything else about wisdom. Lord, I have no idea what to do. Okay, what's the first step? And you just start walking. One step. We hate doing that. Nobody likes finding wisdom that way. We want the whole thing in like living color, you know, 30-minute movie, television promotional just tells us exactly how to put this thing together and what to do. We don't like life much, but God loves life, right? And so he gives us wisdom paths. If any of you ask wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. So especially when it's a little dark, just keep going. And he'll give you the rest, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So as I've been praying for wisdom for a long time, this is one of the greatest things I got. look, first of all, God's going to give me wisdom. Why would he not give me wisdom? If some one of my sons or daughters asks me for wisdom, oh, I love to give them wisdom. I love if I have any. And sometimes I just love to give it even if I don't know what I'm talking about. It's just what parents do. They give wisdom. They're supposed to spout off, right? So I do. And then I have to repent of that, call back, say, well, you know, I really didn't know what I was talking about. But we're supposed to know, right? Well, God knows. But here's the key thing for me with regard to wisdom and not doubting. Wisdom path. He may not reveal to you what you need to know all at once. He may tell you this, and then another one, and then another step. He likes to take you on these journeys. Why? Because by the time you're done with your journey, he's taught you a whole lot, you've changed a lot, and you came away with more, not less. You came with more than you were expecting, not less because of the journey that you went on. But nevertheless, the desire of God to give you wisdom is very real and very powerful. Therefore, this is Psalm 32, verse 6, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. And then he says this, and I'm just going to declare this over this room today. I will instruct you. I wish there was a little reverb on that. Can you put a little reverb on it? I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice, Lord, and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. God likes to give you wisdom. God likes to show you the way. He's not holding back on you. He may give it in pieces. It may be a path you're taking. But he likes to counsel you with his eye on you. He'll instruct you in the way you should go. Turn left, turn right, turn left. Maybe it's not that clear sometimes, but he'll get there. You'll get there. Just don't let your emotions and your impatience get the best of you, because often wisdom comes as a pathway, comes as a journey, and on that pathway you learn all kinds of great stuff. And you know why you learn all kinds of great stuff? Because the pathway is for more, not less. You needed wisdom about this, but God says, I'm going to give you wisdom about that, and then I'm going to give you wisdom about this and this and this and this all along the path. I tell you, I've learned more about that, you know, and learning to walk something, especially right there that I don't know what to do. And there's things around here that we've done. Don't know exactly, like the school, for example. That's the latest thing. I know, you know, how do we do this? I didn't want to do it because it just seemed so overwhelming. Oh, my gosh, we got to go to school again. All the teachers and the building. What are we going to do? And then the path just started unfolding a step at a time. We took a step and a step, and now we're still hearing, right, from the Lord. And other things like that, what in your life, what is it that you're trying to figure out with your kids or whatever it is? In the last days, God increasingly is bringing strategies and power to the church to disciple the nations. By the way, just want to just make this word, I'll go on here, but as we talk about God releasing great and unsearchable things, if you don't understand what God's doing in the world on one level that I'm going to just tell you right now, you're just walking around stupid all the time. Really. You're really uninformed. So here it is. This gospel of the kingdom we preach in the whole world. And then the end comes. And then you need to understand, where is it in the world that God is now, and how far have we come? In the last 10 years, we've come farther with the gospel than any time in all of world history. Now, we're worried about this and that and this and that. Meanwhile, God's reaching the ends of the earth with the gospel in a way that nobody could have ever imagined or thought. Even closed nations that you think are closed, like Iran and Iraq and these places, unparalleled movement. For centuries and centuries, nothing in the Muslim world, nothing. And now, the Ayatollah's got more than a problem with Israel. They got a problem with the church. And it's not from warfare or big bombs. It's from the inside out. That's what they fear the worst. And that's what's happening. This gospel of the kingdom is being preached to the whole world like a way we've never could have imagined. That's why we know we're in the last days. We're in the last of the last days because of this. And you know what? God wants to reveal great and searchable things. So it's really important that us as a body, ordinary people, you might not do much in missions or be much interested, but you all are interested in missions for one reason. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world, then the end comes. So if it's happening like that, that's how you know. Yeah, rumors and wars, they're kind of, you know, overblown. how many times, how many years in the last 50 years have we had rumors and, rumors of wars and wars? Oh my gosh, over and over again. Every time a new one starts, we're all shocked. But it's just been, it's been happening constantly for 50, 60 years around the world. There's always a war, conflict, whatever. But what about this? This gospel of the kingdom, they preach to the whole world. And then the end comes. How close are we to that? The Muslim nations have a big headache. It's us. It's the church. We're seeing progress in these nations, some things that have happened never since the beginning of the church have they ever happened until the last 10 years. Woo! Wow. So, what are we going to be over here just kind of hanging out? Wow, that's pretty cool over there. Be praying for this. You might find yourself in the middle of that. It's all of our mission. And certainly, the United States of America has been at the core of actually financing this great adventure. Do you know that? Sending people out, helping them along. Even our own church, we're responsible because of just a gift of money for thousands upon thousands of churches that have been started. And I'm talking about thousands. Just from our church. We just put the money in over here. We know where to push. And out come the converts and the churches. Thousands of them. That's how alive the world is right now. It's incredible. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing that we live in. Look at number 5. God freely gives revelation of his overwhelming love for you. Oh, if you ever want to find a great and unsearchable things, find out how much he loves you. That's how we have all kinds of things in our classes and everything, and try to do it over and over again. Maybe we'll do it again today. You know what? There's this thing called the love of the Father, love of God, that doesn't just come because it's not just an ought to, it's something you receive. It's something that the Lord gives to us. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. What in the world is he talking about if he isn't talking about something that a believer can experience? Something. He says, you know, I pray that you being rooted and established in love. Now, this is his prayer. This is my prayer right now. I'm going to pray this over everybody in this room. I pray right now, Lord, that they would have power, we would have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Talk about great and unsearchable things. I get excited about a lot of things. But when I hear my daddy in heaven, I feel the Spirit of God saying, good job, son. When I feel that divine hug, there is nothing in this universe like that. So many of us are trying to earn God's favor and to do this great thing for God, do that great thing for God, and make all this money or do this. But it sort of gets hollow and even tiresome without the voice on the inside saying, you know, whether you do that or not, you know, I really like you. I really want you to know I'm for you, not against you. And I'm for your family. And I will never leave you or forsake you. On a day-to-day basis, that's why he says, you know, I'm praying that you'd have power together, all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses even knowledge. Not just knowledge that Jesus loves me, this I know for the Bible tells me. No, down on the inside I know. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's where all the action is at. If you want to know about God's great and unsearchable things, that is right where all the action is. That action right there, right there. If you could put what I said in red, C5, put that in red. Because that adventure in this, your soul is the most amazing, unusual, unsearchable, amazing thing. Sometimes God loves me and I'm going, how are you doing that? I don't want to be loved. I'm mad now. No, I've literally said that to God. How are you doing that? How are you hugging me like that? I would be mad for a while. I literally have had that happen. That's why it's a little bit more all-encompassing than, oh, I hope he loves me. I hope he loves me. I hope he loves me. No, this is possible. That's why he said, you know, I'm praying that you guys would have this high, deep thing. These are part of the greater unsearchable things of God, but not so unsearchable because they're right there. I'm praying for it for you guys, Ephesians. Oh. God gives us power on the tail of that to heal the broken and hearted, just like Jesus did. Because when you get healed of stuff, when God touches you on that deep way, the compassion, the inner compassion gets released. And so this spirit that was on Jesus, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor, it's no problem. It's no problem to bind up the broken heart, to proclaim freedom for the captives. You know why? Because you're free. You're free. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. There are so many things that God wants to teach us. Some of you need financial giving, a gift. You need help financially. You need help on the outside. But the truth of the matter is, without the help on the inside, you're just going to be wandering and wandering and wandering and in pain and pain and pain, right? But when that comes, guess what? You become a natural provider for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning. We don't have to do the warehouse. We get to do the warehouse. And anything else like it that loves people and takes them in. But could I say to you that have been on the receiving end, you're never going to get on the true receiving end until you get on the giving end. So don't just walk around with your hand open all the time. Even if it's a tiny thing, give something away to somebody else. It's the cycle that we want, right? We receive God's love, we give it away. We give away God's love, we receive God's love. Over and over and over again. Oh, Lord, I pray, God, you just create this cycle in the lives of our people, these great and unsearchable things you have to offer us. I'll tell you, experiencing God's love is the greatest experience I ever had in my life, period. And when I feel God's love come on me through however he chooses to do it, it's the most beautiful thing in my life. It's the most beautiful, great, unsearchable thing we have. We love, why? Because he first loved us. Do we ever get to that part? We really believe. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, you release a fresh revelation over the people today, even as they come up to the front today, of the love of God. An emotional thing, but also a place of wisdom. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, you just release that today. So we're supposed to, with all of this stuff, God gives us rebuild devastated cities and receive a double portion. Did you know that? He gives, heals the brokenhearted, and we have this double portion to heal the brokenhearted. And also, if you look at the very last line there, God gives power to move mountains. That's kind of fun, to move mountains. But it's amazing. I've read that scripture for many, many years. And the one after it, we're going to talk about Elijah, where the scripture says he's like a human being just like us, right? You can pray and bind and loose just like Elijah, right? But I'll tell you, one thing I like, which has been such a powerful thing to me, is moving mountains in the process of healing devastated cities, moving mountains of injustice and trouble and homelessness and all of it. Jesus replied, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea and it'll be done. If you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Golly, could I just say that again? God, I'm just going to read it again. It's just almost too good to be true, right? That's why I think so much is connected to love. We read a promise like that, and if we don't feel any love in our heart from God, any affection, we don't believe a word we just read, right? It's so important to have hugs, feel God's presence. That's why worship is so important. Any other avenue you can get a hug from God, even reading the Bible correctly, as you read and say, wow, this guy got this guy got that, he didn't even deserve, da-da-da, by faith, that happened, God, well, wow. Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. If you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And I just suggest to you that that faith is fueled by a relationship with God, the real God, the one that knows about these things, the one that fills you inside so you can be filled on the outside. This last passage. So then, notice this. I want to just, as I pray this last passage, 5:16-18. James, look at these verses. Is anyone among you? I'll start with verse 13. In trouble, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them and with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Then he compares us to Elijah. Anybody think about what Elijah did? What did Elijah do? He called a little fire down from heaven, raised a few people from the dead, right? Elijah was a human being even as we are. Oh, yeah, me and Elijah, we're just like this, right? If you look at some of the prophecy on the internet, some people think they're Elijah. Man, it's amazing. I don't want to go on that sermon. It's just amazing how much unreality. You get a YouTube behind you and suddenly you become the prophet of the nations. And you say stuff, doesn't matter whether it's stupid or not, you're on the air and here we go, right? Elijah was a human being even as we are. Yes, he did. Yes, he is. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3.5 years. What? Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. You mean like we could control the weather? Wow, he's a man just like you and me. So in a way, in terms of if you're an Elijah on YouTube, perhaps maybe you're in a better place than I saying, right? Right? Unless you're just doing it for money. But nevertheless, the prophetic voice of people, the prophetic declarations and the prayers of the saints should be a little bit crazy and should be a little audacious. And if it's not just fundraising, but it's the real heart of Jesus, all of us should be standing in these places. The beauty of a local church, it all keeps us a little honest, right? And we learn to pray with one another and agree with one another. Lord, I just want to ask you through this congregation that you would fill us with the love of the Father. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would just bring this space to us of great and unsearchable things. There are people here that need things that seem so far and so overwhelming they can't get there. But Lord, no person, no human being is our source. You are our source. And you're the one that brings great and unsearchable things. You're the one. So Lord, I ask you that we would be a church of great and unsearchable things. From the love inside of us to the miracles on the outside. From the hearing of God's voice, the prophetic voice, to just a cup of cold water to one that's not doing very well. I pray, Lord, you would give us great and unsearchable things to do. And Lord, for those that need things in their family life and the great and unsearchable things to happen, reconciliations, well, the greatest unsearchable thing that could happen is two people reconcile when they're at odds. What an amazing thing. Talk about a great and unsearchable thing. I pray that would happen. Lord, all across this room, there are things that people need. Lord, I pray, God, you would release us into this people, Lord. I pray literally today we would call to you. You'll answer us and tell us great and unsearchable things we don't know about our life. Why don't we all stand for a moment? And I'd like our ministry team to come up. And Lord, I want to ask you as we pray for each other that you would release great and unsearchable things from ordinary folks. So ministry team, why don't you guys come on up? You're on today. You're our Elijahs. And to receive the other Elijahs that are coming up for a specific thing. Lord, would you release great and unsearchable things today? Things that we thought weren't possible? Things that we maybe gave up on 6 months ago, but maybe got reinvigorated today that might be a possibility? Don't underestimate the possibility of people with skin on standing up here in front of everybody praying over you. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. That must have been a really inspiring message. I had like 7 up here ready to pray, huh? Does anybody else want to come and pray for somebody for a miracle? You might want to come up. One? Been a bad week, huh? Well, I think there's going to be some miracles happen today. And I sure would like some ordinary people to help us with that. Because I'm not going to be able to pray for all of it. And the answer might not come through me anyway. Just might one of these ordinary people here that you might not even know in your whole life. I just encourage you to take a risk today in light of what I said. Lord, I want to ask you through ordinary people today that you would bring miracles. I pray healings would happen that have been held back for years. Back injuries, migraine headaches. I pray, Lord, that you would cause dimensions of power that we haven't seen in a long time, even this morning, through ordinary people. Lord, I pray you'd even tell some people unsearchable things they don't know now that they need to know. I pray even when we're worshiping, you would talk to them. And even as we're praying today, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Why don't you guys begin to play a little bit? If you need to go, feel free. If you'd like to stay in your seat and call out to God. Go ahead. If you'd like to come to the front and get prayer, come to the front and we'll pray for you.